And as you can tell from our decorations that are still up, we just finished Bible school. And what we'd like to do is for our special music is just give you a little taste of Bible school. Now, Bible school, we used to have what was called the Rural Bible Crusade, and I think in this area there was something similar to that. And every Bible school started just like regular school. We started with the Pledge of Allegiance, and so every day this is what we started. So I've got somebody want to hold this flag? Volunteer? Come on, Nolan, you can do it. And we also need the Bible. Okay, come on, Raul. Hey, you guys want to stand right here so they can see you? We'll just stand right in front right here. And Raul, you stand right in the middle. Let's hold up those flags. And I'll ask you all to stand, and you can just join us for the opening session of Bible school. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our country's flag we salute today, the dear red, white, and blue, the emblem. Allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. Our Savior's flag we salute today, the colors proudly Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. The word of God we salute today, the Bible tried and true. God's own book, we will ever look for the light our fathers knew. Oh, may we faithfully read and pray that likely we may grow and others dream and through His grace may know. Okay, thank you. You guys. Okay, I need a little bit of help at Bible school. We also had a thought for the day, and I would like to hold up the first one, and this one is based on the fact that we're all sinners, but we don't always like to admit we're sin, and so who remembers this thought for the day? Should we say it together? All right, let's all say it together, and you can listen. Go ahead. The only place to hide sin is under the blood of Christ. All right, and then we had another thought for the day, and this is a picture of a grandmother reading the Bible. And you can't see this, but this is a well-worn and a well-read Bible. And so, and then on the other side, we have a picture of a delicious hot dish. Do people like hot dishes anymore? Okay, who remembers this one? Should we say it? A well-read Bible is a well-fed soul. Thought for the day, all right? And then, as we ended the day, we know that sin is doing what's wrong, and so here's a picture of a blue ribbon. Who remembers this? Can you help me? You can't a winner when you play with sins. You can't be a winner when you play with sins. So what we did is we'd have a drawing, and we would pick one of the participants, and if they got it right, they got a prize. And so those were the thoughts for the day. We also have a couple of songs, and if you Bible schoolers just want to come on up, and you can feel free to sing along with us. These aren't real difficult songs. You can stand anywhere you want to around here, and we will. Okay. Okay.
Galaxies appear. What's the next adventure that God will show us here? To the edge of God, the universe. Carry God in all His greatness. He's reaching out to you and me. His power plain to see. To the edge of God's big universe.
We do have another song, and you're welcome to join with us as we sing it. And we didn't have uniforms, but kind of. And here's our uniform. Can I? Come on. No. It says, "To the edge," and then on the back we had our theme verse: "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Psalm 145:3. And so. They probably all would have had them, but you know what happens? They get dirty. So you have yours? It's back there. Okay, so let's sing together. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised by everyone every day. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Lift up your voice and say, great is the Lord. He is worthy of honor. Glory to His name. Thank you. Okay, that's our program. All right. And if you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of James. And for our scripture reading, we'll read the last part of chapter 5. I'm sorry, I forgot I was not young anymore after the children got up there. So James chapter 5, and we're looking at primarily prayer, and that's what we're going to be discussing this morning. In verse 13 of James chapter 5, we read this: "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." And that is another form of prayer. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Well, before we go to prayer, let me just make a few announcements here. And the first one, before I forget, Nancy, when was your birthday? August. Okay, Nancy is turning, is it okay for me to say? 80 years old. She's proud of it. Okay, that's good. And anyway, she would like to invite you all to her birthday party this coming Saturday, right? From 1 to 3. Okay, so that's right here. So you can congratulate Nancy on her 80th birthday coming up. And then Dick Nelson found in the back of the church some free tickets to a circus. This has nothing to do with the church directly, but they were here. So if any of you want to take your kids to the circus, we've got some free tickets back there. Is that right, Dick? All right. So I don't know where these came from, but they came in the mail. Okay. So apparently it admits one child. So if you have two, you can take two. Oh, okay, under 12 per paid adult. Okay, so this is the Carson and Barnes Circus, whenever that is. It's at the Wilmer Civic Center, July 20th, Monday. Oh, that's coming up. Okay, all right, so there you go. Not church-sponsored, but hey. Okay, all right. They notice in your bulletins that we won't have a board meeting this month. Everyone's taking the month off. We also will not have prayer or Wednesday night Bible study this month either. So I won't see you Wednesday. In fact, my wife and I are taking off today, this afternoon, and we'll be gone for a couple of Sundays. And in the upper right corner of your bulletin, we've got Steve is going to be speaking, my brother Steve, next Sunday, and then Michael Driscoll the following Sunday. And then if the Lord willing, we'll be back to normal, and our normal schedule will keep going. Oh, by the way, this is the normal Sunday schedule, so keep coming and pray for these two, please say thank you and appreciate those. There's also on Monday, August 17th, now that's a month away, we're planning a trip, and this is basically for the children or young people to Valley Fair. And so if any old people, I say that, would like to go, you're certainly welcome to come. We'll find a chaperone for you or something like that, all right? And then, as you noted, we just finished Bible school, and the reason we left a lot of the trappings up here is so that you would have a little feel for what we did here at Bible school, so you'd know what's going on. We did take a lot down, but a big thanks. This is a lot of work to put all this on, and people, just thank you, and there's still some work to do in taking the rest of this down and getting the place finished, cleaned up, but it's appreciated. We had 69. I was kind of hoping we'd hit 70. That's pretty close, all right? So I tell people we had approximately 70 kids that came, but Brenda. It's the way women are, aren't they? They're just so exacting. All right, 69 came, which is pretty good. We only went through the ninth grade, and we didn't really have a lot of promotion either. And so hopefully the greatness of God and his salvation will be implanted. That's what we want to do, is to put some seeds in plant seeds in the minds of these children. All right, with that, we have some prayer requests, and I would encourage you to pray for each other. We do have some good news with, and so as you'll notice on the list of names isn't there. And some of these people are doing pretty well that was on the list. And so next fall, we'll get this updated. So if you have some special prayer requests, we'll be glad to put that in there. In the meantime, we do need prayer. And we should be willing to pray for each other and pray for all sorts of things, as we're going to see in the message this morning. So with that, before we go on with our service, let's pause for a word of prayer right now. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was willing to come to earth to die and pay the penalty for sin. We thank you that because that penalty is paid, the whole world has become savable, and that through faith alone, people can be saved, have their sins forgiven, and be given the gift of eternal life. We just thank you for your grace provision, and even though we don't deserve it, you are such a great God, so full of love, and so full of ability to take care and meet our needs. We thank you for the great salvation that you have provided. We want to thank you for our country. And as we stop and we think of even saying the pledge as it's just disappearing from our public scene, we just pray that we would remember the value of liberty, and that we'd remember that only true liberty comes from Jesus Christ and his truth. The truth shall make us free. And so we just pray that this nation could see the truth of the Word of God, that the Word of God could be respected, and that the Jesus Christ and the hope that he offers would become our hope. And we just pray that as we even move into another election season coming up, that we wouldn't get distracted from the fact that our hope does not lie in a political party. Our hope lies in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for this. We want to just thank you for the answered prayer that we've had as we think of moving forward and this next month, and we even think of the special events that are going on next month. We just commit them all to you, and we just pray that Jesus Christ could be honored and glorified through it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, I did forget to mention one thing. In the bottom left corner of your bulletin, on August 23rd, some of you remember the Day Spring, the trio of men that sang. They're coming back, and they're going to be singing for us and message and song, however they put it, on Sunday morning, both Sunday school and the church service. And so keep that in mind. And it's good music. You have to give them credit for that. And so invite your friends, and we'll just keep that in mind. They're flying in. And then they're going to fly back to Chicago. I don't know if it's Sunday night or Monday morning, probably Monday morning. So keep that in mind. Right now, we'll sing our last hymn, and then we'll get into the message. Look at the subject of prayer, and those verses in James chapter 5 would take us quite a while, so I've disciplined myself this morning to just look at the background of prayer and to take a look at what Jesus had to say about prayer. And if we get these points, it'll help us understand James chapter 5 just a little bit better, even though this morning we may not get to James chapter 5. And so what I'd like to do is on this subject of prayer, and I hope that you noticed in our scripture reading this morning how many times the word prayer was mentioned. And this passage in James is not about elders healing people. It's not about coming together in the church and confessing sins to each other in a public manner. That's not what it's all about. Rather, it's about prayer. And as we stop and we think of prayer, I'd like to take us to two parables in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11 is the first parable that we'll take a look at. And as we turn there, I'll just remind you, and this is a very simple definition of a parable, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so for us to understand it, of course, we've got to understand the earthly story, and then we'll apply the heavenly meaning to that particular story right there. And so first of all, let's turn to, and I'll get there, the book of Luke, chapter 11. And as we stop and we think of Luke chapter 11, these are the verses that we'll be taking a look at right here. And the setting for this here is that the disciples, in verse 1, asked the Lord to teach us to pray. And I might just say that he's not saying how to pray. He's saying to pray. And the fact of the matter is that we as people don't pray as much as we should. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? That just the fact of praying and bringing things to God in prayer is somewhat foreign to us by nature. Prayer is communication with God, and it's the way that God actually, through his Spirit, teaches us about the situations that we're in. And we'll take a look at that in just a moment. And so if you, he tells a parable, and we'll jump right to verse 5, and we'll take a look at the parable. And here's what the parable is. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And as we stop and we think of the earthly story, what is going on in this story? And this is simply the story. Now, this is a hypothetical case, and I hope that you don't visit your friends at midnight as this particular person did. But a traveler came in, and it's midnight, and he knocks on the door, and he's hungry, and he would like to spend the night at this particular person's house. And this friend says, oh, I don't have anything to feed you, but I have another friend. And this other friend, I think he's got some bread. Now, the Quick Trip or Casey's or wherever you go, at midnight, they're closed. And isn't that where you'd go to get bread at midnight? I don't know. Here in town, I guess you can go to Cashwise. They open 24 hours, but all the grocery stores are closed. He's come at midnight. And so what he does is this. He goes to his friend, and he knocks on the door. And he says, Friend, I need to borrow some bread. And his friend is, oh, no. It's midnight. We're all settled in. All my kids are in bed. We're laying here in bed. I've locked the doors. I've secured all the windows. The lights are out. I don't want to get up. Go home and don't bother me until the morning. And it wasn't the issue of giving bread. It was the issue of coming at midnight and asking a favor of this friend. And this friend, now don't you do this to your friends, all right? This isn't the lesson here. The lesson isn't to go bug a friend at midnight. The point is this, is that this is what happened. And the friend says, no, I mean, don't, midnight, come on. It's bedtime. You have better sense than this. Can we all relate to that guy? And there's an interesting word in verse 8. It's importunity. And as we stop and we think of that particular word, in fact, I think that's the only place that this word is used in the New Testament. And what it has to do with is this. It has to do with persistence and not giving up. And he just keeps knocking. And he becomes a nuisance. And so what happens in the story is this. Is that the friend says, good grief, he's not going to go away. The only way I can get rid of this guy is if I get up and get him some bread and send him on his way. And then finally I can get some sleep. And so that's exactly what happens in the story. The guy keeps knocking on the door. Friend. Can I borrow some bread? No. Go to bed. Come in the morning. Bang, bang, bang. Friend, can I get some bread? And finally, he says, and here it is, in end of verse 8, yet because of his importunity, you see that? His persistence at being a nuisance, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. In fact, have an extra loaf, just get out of here and leave me alone. Now, that's the earthly story. Now, the earthly story is something that we can understand. And so as we stop and we think of this earthly story, what is the purpose of it? Well, the purpose is to teach us to pray. And we just read the earthly story in verses 5 through 8. And so what is the application? And so the application of this earthly story is now mentioned in verses 9 and 10. And as we stop and we think of this particular story, I want you to know that he's talking to his disciples. He is talking, and the application would be to believers. If you're here and you're not saved, you're welcome to be here. But what you need is not a lesson on prayer. What you need is to be born again. Does that make sense? That's where we all start. Jesus Christ died for your sins, and when one trusts in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. This salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And as we stop and we think of what happens to a person when they are born again, the Holy Spirit comes into them, and we call it the new birth. And they are made spiritually alive. Excuse me. I often prided myself in not having pulpit drippings. You knew that's why people don't sit in the front row, don't you? These old, what were they called? Old hellfire and brimstone preachers would spit all over the front row while they're preaching. So you got to sit back just to keep clean. So I'll be good here, folks. I'm good. All right. There, we'll dilute it. Okay. So, prayer, by the way, is for God's children. It's for those who are in the family of God. Does that make sense? And Jesus is giving this illustration to his disciples. And he says this in verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given, and seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And as we stop and we think of this particular story, what does he say? Keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking, seeking, knocking. Oh, by the way, if you take the first letter of ask, seek, and knock, you have ask, don't you? So asking, just a little mnemonic if you want, if you please. All right. Why? Why should we keep on asking? Why should we keep on seeking? Why should we keep on knocking, child of God? And as we stop, it's because everyone who keeps on asking, and there's no misinterpreting this particular passage, receives, keeps on seeking, or finds, and the door opens, and it just goes on and on. And as we stop and we think of the promise that Jesus Christ is making to his children, wouldn't you stop and think about this just for a second? Why wouldn't you be persistent in your prayers? It only makes sense, doesn't it? Well, the story doesn't end there. Let's read on. And we learn something about the grace of God. Verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if ye shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" And the answer to these questions are these. Now, these are rhetorical questions. And he's just saying, in the natural realm, if your child, your father, Mike, you're a dad, if your kids came and asked you for some bread, would you give them a stone? Absolutely not. Why would you give your own children a stone? Stones are useless, aren't they? They're useless. You can't eat them. They ask for some fish, and fish in those days was a staple food that was often eaten. So we would maybe ask for a hamburger today. If your kid asks you for a hamburger or, what do they ask for? sugar cereal or something like that, all right? What would you give them? Would you give them something that is harmful? No. Fathers don't behave like that unless there's something wrong with you. And in the last days, there are going to be, people are going to leave natural affection. But natural affection would not include giving something harmful. Or if we look at the last one, or if he asks for an egg. And the idea there, I suppose, I like my eggs in the breakfast over easy. I like eggs. Anyway, I'll eat them scrambled. I'll eat them anyway. But if I'm in a restaurant, it's always over easy. And then a serpent comes out. That's ridiculous. No earthly father would do that. So what is the point of Jesus saying this right here? Well, look at verse 13. If ye then, being evil, and the idea of being evil right there is not that you're a bad father, but you are a sinner, you are ungodly, and we by nature are selfish. So if you, being a natural father, would not give your kid a stone, would not do something to hurt your child, then compared to that, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who, by the way, is not evil, who is full of grace, who is full of love, how much more would your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, I might just say that this verse is not saying we should ask for the Holy Spirit. In fact, nowhere in the New Testament is the Spirit ever asked for. When you become a child of God, the Spirit comes in, and every child of God has already as much of the Spirit as they're ever going to have. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Spirit has all of you, but you have all of the Spirit. You with me on that? And so you don't have to ask for something that has already happened to you. So what is he talking about? What he's talking about is this, is that when we pray, the Holy Spirit will teach us and will guide us and will comfort us and will give us the answers to the problems that we bring to him in prayer. And so what do we have? We have a contract. How much wiser is our Heavenly Father in answering prayer? Now, I had 8 kids. And I'll tell you this. I don't know a thing about parenting. And everything I learned about parenting was too late. if I don't know. Can anybody else relate to that? Okay. What's that old German saying? Too soon old and too late smart. Something like that, all right? Or is that Norwegian too? Yeah, okay, that gets around, all right? And I think that's a pretty universal truth. And so, but one thing's for certain. If my kids needed something, I told them, you ask me. You don't go ride your bike 2 blocks down and ask that guy. I'm your father. You ask me. And I think they did. I don't know. Maybe they're moochers and tried to attack. But, you know, the neighbors or whatever it is, I don't know. These kids can be embarrassing these days, can't they? But get the point of this. Persistence. Now, we're not done with this yet, because let's turn over to Luke chapter 18. And in Luke chapter 18, we have this. And we have stated for us in verse 1 the purpose of this. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, and now he gives the earthly story. And so the purpose, we ought always to pray. The earthly story, let's look at it. There wasn't a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Who? It's hard to believe that a judge would fear not God. I wonder if there's any judges in the United States like this. I'm just being facetious here. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And so apparently she was being taken advantage of, and it was against the law, and nobody was doing anything about it. So she went to court. She went to the judge. And the judge, who had didn't care about God, had no respect for God, and didn't regard people, was just in it, must have been just in it for himself and the money, could care less. He could care less. And he would, all right, and he would not for a while. Okay, in other words, she came to him and he just said, get lost for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, now here's that word importunity coming up again. This widow nagged her. Verse 5, and he says this at the end of verse 4, though I fear not God, nor regard man. The idea is I'm going to do whatever I want, when I want, how I want, and I don't give a rip what God thinks or how it affects people. I'm my own God. Well, that's not too unusual, I would think. And yet, look at verse 5. Because this widow troubleth me. In other words, she just will not go away. Every morning she is there. I want justice. This is not right. You need to make the right ruling in this particular case. And finally, he says, because she won't go away. Remember the guy knocking on the door at midnight? What does he say? Because he just, I can't get any sleep. I'll give him anything he wants. Just get out of here. This judge is saying exactly the same thing. This judge is saying, because she just keeps after me, I'll make the right ruling. I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. I'm getting tired of this. And so the judge does what's right after he is literally nagged to death. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now think about this. Why did he do the right thing? And shall not, verse 7, shall not God avenge them speedily? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall even find, and there ought to be the little article, the faith on the earth. Is anybody even going to be trusting the Bible anymore? And the whole setting of this particular story is the Olivet Discourse. And he's talking about the tribulation. And at the end of the tribulation, when he comes, he's just asking the question, is there going to be anyone who actually has any respect for God? And the answer to that is sadly, very, very few. Very few. And yet, what is he saying? He says, listen to this judge. Why did the judge do what was right? He's an earthly judge. Now, contrast that. And here's the point. Contrast that to the grace of God. Contrast that to our Heavenly Father, who doesn't just answer your prayers because you're annoying him at midnight. Who doesn't just answer your prayers to get him off your back. That's how these two friends and this judge operated. Does everybody see the earthly story here? And yet there was persistence that was involved in this right here. And as we stop and we think of persistence, I would like to suggest to you that all of us have needs. We have, and for lack of a better term, I'll put felt needs. And if you're young here, and you're going to school and you're in the third or fourth grade and you're learning your multiplication tables, and it's so hard. Pray. And you just keep asking God. Listen, children, parents, bring your needs to the Lord. Now, here's what happens. You get it. And I don't know if any of you adults are praying that the Lord will help you understand addition. Is anybody here? You got it, don't you? You got that. But as you went on, what was A squared plus B squared equals C squared? So if I take C squared minus B squared and take the square root of A, I should have the distance, right, Phil? Okay, got it. All right. Oh, man, when I first saw that, I needed prayer. In fact, we've all heard this saying that prayer will not be taken out of schools until math tests disappear. Okay. Now, I'm not praying about 2 plus 2 anymore or 4 plus 7 where you got to, or 21 plus 10 or something like that where I got to carry a number. Oh, now I'm past that. I'm not praying about that anymore. But that A squared plus B squared, C squared thing, I got to think about that a little bit. And Lord, you got to help me. And here's the thing that happens in life, depending upon your maturity. We all have different felt needs. We all have things that come into our life that we don't understand. We all have issues. And it doesn't matter if what your need is. And folks, don't ever look at a young person or an immature person and say, oh, that need is Mickey Mouse. You ought to know better than that. Listen. God wants you, wherever you're at, to bring those needs to Him in prayer. An example of that is the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I won't take the time to turn there. I'll just tell you the story. The Apostle Paul got sick. He was physically hurting. And he says, I was persistent in prayer, and I prayed three times. Now, the Apostle Paul is not giving a formula that I'm going to ask the Lord three times. And I'll tell you, it just bugs me when I hear people say that. Ask the Lord three times, three strikes and you're out, and all of that stuff. Oh, no. You know when Paul quit praying? Not because he prayed three times, but because the Holy Spirit gave him the answer. And when he got the answer, he's now going to move on. And he's going to accept that answer. And there are some issues in our lives when we need to ask the Lord. And I think if the Apostle Paul hadn't got his answer after three times, he'd asked again. And he'd asked again. And he'd asked again. And he'd have kept knocking. He'd have kept seeking. And there's a promise that God will give you the answer. And as we stop and we think of the Apostle Paul in that particular situation, he asked, Lord, take this infirmity from me. And I don't know, the text doesn't tell us, but I'm sure the Apostle Paul was reasoning in his head, Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, and you want me to travel, and I don't know what his infirmity is. Some think it was his eyesight. Others think he had a limp. Whatever it was, both of them would be rather inhibiting when it came to doing missionary traveling. Agreed? And it would have been very easy for the Apostle Paul to say, you know something, Lord? Heal me, get rid of this thing, and I'll cover twice the ground on my missionary trip, because he was anxious to go. But God gave him the answer. And God said, listen, there's pride, not only in you, but there's pride in other people who put you on a pedestal. And I want to teach you something, Paul. I want to teach you that my grace is sufficient. What a lesson. that Paul got. And Paul got it. And guess what? Every time he ran into a wall, or every time he couldn't see, every time his leg, whatever it was that bothered him, he knew the answer to the problem. And he could thank God. Thank you, God, that your grace is sufficient for me. Not always does God answer the way that we would like. Sometimes cancer hits. Sometimes things happen to us that we just don't understand. There's car accidents. There's all kinds of things that happen to us. And what do we do? And yet, if we don't understand, God wants us to be persistent. He wants us to come to Him. And there are some principles that we can learn about prayer when we go through this. How does this apply to us? Well, the first thing that we can have is this, or see, and I've just listed a few, you can expand this list if you'd like, is that when we pray in faith, believing, we are recognizing the sufficiency of God. Bible school, our theme was the greatness of God and how vast He is. And I've asked this question before. How many of you believe that God is smarter than you? How many of you believe that God knows everything? Listen, God, not only does He know everything, He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. He never changes. And His love is unfailing. Why wouldn't you depend upon the sufficiency of Christ? And as we think about going to prayer, one of the things that the Holy Spirit teaches us, and this is for Christians now, one of the things the Holy Spirit teaches us is this, the sufficiency of God Himself as we go to prayer. We also see this, and I've just used the illustration. I don't care if you're in the fourth grade having a test and you're biting your nails. And I've seen students, they're all worried about the tests. And they're worried about tests even beyond the fourth grade. And I've seen people who are out of school who aren't just taking tests. They've got issues on the job. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe they've gotten injured. Something's happened. And ouch. We don't understand. We're biting our nails. And what does He want us to do? He wants us to ask Him. In the book of James, in the first chapter, it said this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God who giveth how? Liberally. Wisdom. God is the God of all wisdom. And He wants us to be specific. And all of us have specific needs. And you might say, well, I just think it's a need. And, you know, this is what's kind of interesting, is that we have these felt needs, these perceived needs. They're real to us. So don't laugh at anyone else. You encourage people. I don't care how Mickey Mouse, how rinky-dink you think their problems are. And it bugs me when I hear people say, oh, that's nothing. You should hear what happened to me. You think you have problems. Oh, let me tell you this. Don't do that. Don't say that. And if you want to tell people about somebody else's problems and your big problems and all that, be tactful. But remember this. To each of us, God wants us to bring our problems to Him in prayer, and He will give us the answer. Are you with me on that? And oftentimes, God's answer is not, I'm going to change the situation. You might have a boss at work that just bugs you. So you pray, Lord, wake up the board of directors and get this guy fired. Get him transferred so I can do my job without this guy. Does anybody have a boss like that? So you go to the Lord in prayer. And guess what? The Holy Spirit says, you know what? It changes our attitude. And he says, I want you to change your attitude about that person. And I'm not going to remove that person. I'm going to change your outlook. And that's the answer. And when, just like what happened to the Apostle Paul, I'm going to change your outlook. I'm not going to change the thing that you asked me to change. Interesting point, isn't it? And so be specific. Bring those problems. Prayer, it's an indispensable resource as we think of what's available to us. I might just say that the believer who is quick to pray is growing up, and they're giving recognition to the fact that prayer is this indispensable resource. Don't downplay prayer. As we think about this in both parables, both in Luke 11 and Luke 18, what do we have? We've got the God is contrasted to earthly response. And while we often give in because of nagging, guess what? God acts out of wisdom and love, and he always gives us answers out of his very character. And remember this. God is not a God who says, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen in the future, so let's just kind of go easy here. God knows what the future is. He knows everything. And all of his answers are always for our good, and they're always designed to conform us to the image of his Son. Prayer is educational. As we pray, the Holy Spirit, and this is what Jesus Christ is all about, or is talking about, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that resource that God gives us, as we talk to God, the Holy Spirit can do what? He can teach us. Teaches us about ourselves. Teaches us about God's sufficiency. He teaches us to look at things differently. Prayer is a great educational tool. And prayer is not just some futile effort to try to get a reluctant God to do what we want him to do. Are you with me on that? God is not a reluctant God. God is a God of love. And as we stop and we think of prayer, the Bible tells us we ought always to pray. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. Every issue that comes up, we should take it to the Lord in prayer, because prayer is one of those tools that God uses to guide us into his will for our lives. It's not always an easy thing to do, is it? It's not always easy to pray. And if you're a little bit like me, I kind of like to stew a little bit first. And I kind of like to, you didn't know that about me, did you? Well, maybe some of you are finding out. I kind of like to, what'd you say? And then let's measure the pros and the cons, and what are we going to do about this? What decisions can I make? Ooh, we're kind of running out. We're kind of running out of answers here. Well, as a last resort, let's pray. And I would suggest to you this: we can all save a lot of time if we'd pray first, and we'd save a lot of anguish. We'd save a lot of just trouble. And as we stop and we think of the grace of God, prayer is something like I already mentioned, it's indispensable. And when we think of the problems that we have, sometimes those problems are people. Well, I'll tell you what. The next time a person bugs you, the next time you have a problem with a person, you go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to change that person. And did you know that more times than not, God will change you and not the person? And guess what? You've got your answer. You've got your answer. Let's pause in prayer right now. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your gift of eternal life that you provided through your work on the cross. But we also want to thank you for the fact that your children are part of a family that has a Heavenly Father who loves, who cares, who wants to be involved in our lives, who has given us His Spirit. And we just pray that as we stop and we think of the importance of prayer, that we would just make prayer a part of our daily routine. Pray that we would get over the fact that we only pray at meal times and lay me down to sleep. That we would understand that prayer is communicating with God about all things, all through the day. We pray that we could become real prayer warriors for Jesus Christ. We thank you for each other. We thank you for the salvation that you've provided. We thank you that your love for us is far greater than any love that we could show each other. And we pray that that would be our example. We thank you for these stories, these parables that you have given to us. We pray that we would get the lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Page 433. And let's stand together. And we'll sing the first verse together. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from our